Well, hi, everyone. It's Mark Stenson, and you have found our new podcast called Unlocking Your World of Creativity. First of all, as a new podcast, I have no idea how you listeners found this. I think about the old ways of tuning up and down the radio dial. I don't know, is there such a dial? But I'm just really happy to have one of our first guests as Joe Burke.
Unlocking Your World of Creativity with Mark Stenson.
Joe is, you know, when you talk about a world of creativity, Joe, you're involved in a world of projects.
I try.
Joe is a true Renaissance creative guy, writer, film producer, Instagram funny man, now host of his own podcast, which best title ever, Say It, Don't Spray It, which, I mean, what does it take us back to our sixth or seventh grade?
Exactly, on the playground, exactly. Yeah, say it, don't spray it, you know, totally that.
And let's have that sort of childlike curiosity and wonderment, huh?
Exactly. I'm glad you enjoy the title of my podcast, Say It, Don't Spray. I made a list of like 50 titles, and I had a few friends give their feedback, and that was the one that they all picked.
Totally unrehearsed. On this podcast, Joe, I want to flip it. We're going to do the lightning round first.
Okay.
So question number one. What is the project that's on your table right now?
I am currently developing a thriller feature movie that I would love to direct with my buddy Oliver Cooper. We are in the outlining stage. I've been working on it all last night and all the past couple of weeks. And it's a, I don't want to say too much, but it's a fun, dark, comedic thriller movie.
Sounds fun. All right. Second question. Do you have a sort of go-to source of inspiration when you say, hey, I'm stuck, I'm dry, I got to get some ideas? Where do you go?
Yeah. For me, I think the easiest one I could say right away is in terms of moving, I literally walk out my apartment door here to the outside and go, I have a walk around the neighborhood that I love. And I really do a lot of thinking when I'm walking. So if I'm like stuck, I'll literally just pop on my shoes and just literally walk out the door and go for an hour walk and then walk right back in. I feel 10 times better. Music is always a good source for me. If I put on some music or even movie score, I go to Spotify, put on some score of other movie soundtracks. That's a big resource for me. And having conversation, honestly, is a big source for me. If I can have a good conversation with someone like yourself, friends, or even doing the podcast, like finding a way to just sort of get the wheels turning in thought and ideas and reconnecting with your perspective as a person in life, you can really find your way to go through it.
Love it. Your website, your IMBD, you know, list, I don't know, you have a dozen films, you have more. So as you think about the obstacles that you ran into in producing or publishing or posting or funding, you know, what would you say are two or three of the biggest roadblocks you faced in getting your work out there?
That's a great question. Well, I want to start by just saying thank you to you, because back in grad school, when I was at American Film Institute, you were a big contributor to my AFI thesis film. You donated a generous amount, which was very, very generous of you, and that always meant a lot. So I just want to start by saying thank you.
It's
finding people who believe in you, honestly. It's finding people who want to support your work. And so I think there's two things. I mean, one, I think your greatest obstacle is always yourself. I think you really have to push yourself to get through maybe the hard stage of writing the screenplay and writing the drafts and making sure that you have a movie that's worth going to then fight for the next step of getting it made, finding money, getting a producer, getting actors, then the next step of fighting for the locations you want and the shoot dates that you want. And, you know, the edit, you know, once you're done shooting, then fight for the way you want it to be edited so you can have your vision come across, even though there's probably other cooks in the kitchen, financiers, producers, studios, whatever it is. So it's sort of a constant battle. And I think the best way to get your work out there is to not give up. I mean, I guess that's sort of where I'm at in my life. It's just like, find a path that works for you. Find a path that feels right for you. I think resistance and pushing against resistance can just drain you and wear you out so much that if that's not the path, I think the sooner you realize that, the better. And I feel like I'm in my life where I do that quite a bit. Where I'm like, all right, this path doesn't feel right. I'm not going to keep banging on it. Let me shift gears a little bit and try this path. I mean, there's a million paths. So if it's not one path, it's the other. And then with independent film, you know, I've written and directed one feature film that we put on, we self-distributed on Amazon Prime called Four Dogs, which is a great little movie starring Oliver Cooper and Dan Bacadall. But on top of that, I've done several shorts. Again, some on Amazon Prime. I love Vimeo, YouTube. I mean, with social media now, and you build an audience like you are with your podcasts and everything, people are there. People want to be entertained. People want to see stuff that inspires them or entertains them, good work. So I think there's audiences out there, but I will also say it's not easy. You know, like I actually wrote and directed a little short horror thriller film during quarantine back in April, May. During the lockdown, I was out in the desert for 5 days, just me and my buddy Oliver, just the two of us and a camera. And I shot the whole thing myself. And it was Oliver acted in it. This great little horror thriller called Desert Quarantine that's on Vimeo and YouTube now. But I submitted to some film festivals. And of course, you know, some of them are big film festivals. And for whatever reason, you know, some rejections come in. You're like, all right, well, I didn't get into this film festival. And there's a lot of no's that happen in the line of work that we do in this entertainment industry. So how do you get your work out there is by not stopping yourself and not giving up. That's the short answer.
Yeah. And you're right about the no's. I mean, one no after another. And no matter how many, get up, shake it off, wipe yourself off, keep moving, it's still a constant battle.
You have to. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, actually, on my podcast, I brought an actor named Joshua Bataan, who's literally been in like 50 TV shows. He's like the guest star king, but he still wants more. And it's the idea of like, when we get this rejection or not getting the bigger parts or whatever it is, it does take a toll on your psyche. People who aren't in the film industry, I mean, everyone has no's in their lives in all capacities. People will find rejection, but it's basically part of the job in the film industry. I mean, I'm a commercial actor. I go to probably a commercial audition a week all year long. I do 50 commercial auditions a week. If I'm lucky, I'll book a couple, and I have had some luck over the years. Thank God, it's been going really well for me. But I've also had so many no's, or so many like it's between you and another guy, and it goes the other way. And that's what I was talking with again actor Josh Bataan about this. So it's just part of the job is the rejection and the no's. And yeah, it does take a strength of being like, all right, like it hurts, it gets you down. I mean, there's no question. There's times where you get bummed out, you get knocked down, and it's like, it might take you a few days, a few weeks, a few months. I mean, I went through a phase where I think I was down for about 3 years. Now, I just finished an independent movie I acted in. I fell in love and got my heart broken for the first time. I was in my late 20s, early 30s in a weird part of my life. And I paused. I actually said, I'm not going to write or direct anything for a minute, and I'm going to go and teach film school. And I actually left my agent and manager, and I went and contacted a film school here in LA who was hiring directing instructors. And I've been teaching part-time for the last 6 years. It's been great. And I've started making movies again. But I did take a 3-year break of just only focusing on pretty much teaching and some acting. And it was good. I needed the break. But to get back into it, then it's like, all right, it's like take 3 years off and you leave your agent and manager. It's like to get back in. I didn't realize it was going to be such a uphill battle to kind of get the engine moving again. It sort of took me by surprise, actually, how much of a challenge when you kind of take that break. And I wasn't already established enough where I could take a break and come right back. I was still in the middle of getting my career going. So I think I took a pause and I came back and it was like, whoa, everything's changed. I got to figure out a new path now, because that path that I was on 3 years ago is not the path anymore for me. And it took me some adjusting. It took me some letting go of regrets. It took me some like understanding that like things have changed and I've changed. And so again, one day at a time.
Yes.
And finding the path that works for you, that you can be, you got to be happy too. If you're not happy without it, you're not going to be happy with it. And so the reason why, to kind of give your audience a little bit more context, the reason why I took that 3-year break was because I was getting burnt out. I've been writing and directing movies since I was a kid, all through high school, college, grad school, after, you know, and I was directing some TV, and I was finding myself going down a path that I wasn't super happy in. And I also didn't feel like I was living life enough. And so during the 3-year break, I did travel more and I went out to the desert more, explored dating more. You know, I wasn't really dating much in my early years. So like just a big life change and finding myself more and finding happiness and connecting to who I am. So that was big. And ultimately it's for the better, but sometimes you have to remind yourself that this is a long journey.
Yes.
And that, you know, it's not a race, so to speak.
Yeah. And it may not have seemed that while you were in it. I know for the long term, it's going to be good for me.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Our listeners are going to be a lot of different kinds of creative people. You know, the writers, the songwriters who are like, oh, I'm going to be playing in one more bar tonight. Got to get out there. Hopefully somebody will find me, or an agent will book me or something. And there are people who are painters and it's like, I need to move my craft forward. Photographers, hey, I enjoy photography, but I got to make this a commercial.
Well, that's
venture.
A great point.
So how do we transfer our creative interest into a business, you know, or money-making proposition.
Totally. And I think, I mean, you're the businessman here, obviously. And so this is your expertise. But what I can say is, the reason why I started teaching films, I love teaching and I wanted to always teach. And I had my master's in filmmaking from AFI. So I was able to kind of find a good school to teach at. But the real reason why I really wanted to do that, besides the fact that I love it, the second reason was to relieve the pressure, financial pressure. You know, to have a job that I can do every week that helped me grow as a filmmaker, grow as a person. I really enjoyed it. It paid well. And I didn't have to sit there every week and just like put all my eggs in one basket. If I don't book this role, I'm screwed. If I don't get this directing job, I'm screwed. I'm begging for money. I'm living cheaply. I can't go on vacation. I can't buy groceries. I mean, like at a certain point in your life, you have to realize, okay, I don't think that being in this position is necessarily going to be sustainable. So part of, for me, of teaching was also like, what else can I do to make some money right now that I love on top of my career? And teaching film school and teaching acting is like, it makes me better at my craft. So I got very lucky in that department, but it also took off so much pressure. I actually moved to my own place. I got a great apartment here. I'm living my life. I'm traveling more. I'm saving money, you know, and because of that, because I have less pressure, I can go into like auditions or meetings and be more myself. And I'm actually booking more work because I don't have to put all the pressure on. If I don't get this one job, I'm not gonna be able to pay rent.
That's totally an
unhealthy place.
Yes. Yes. And so there wasn't this, I have to give up my dream to make money. You were saying it actually facilitated letting some of that energy go. So
exactly.
You know, and you were also talking about the resilience, the keep at it mentality. Why is it that we creative people are so sensitive to that kind of judgment? Number one, do you like my stuff? Do you know, I want everybody to like me, like my work. And then that rejection. It's just like a spear in the heart sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, why? I mean, I think a couple of things. One, usually the work that we're doing is very personal. The work comes from our soul. It comes from our heart. It's who we are. If you're writing stuff, you're writing music that's personal. If you're writing movies that are personal, if you're creating paintings of artwork that are coming, it's very personal. It's very vulnerable. You're opening yourself up and saying, here is me. And so, you know, and everyone's going to judge all your work because unfortunately that's what people do. They judge works. I mean, you ever walk out of a movie theater and you hear someone right next to you, maybe you did it, or someone else, you walk out of a movie and you're like, oh, that sucked. And it's like, in 2 seconds, a movie that took 5 years to make, took 100 people on sets, they blood, sweat, and tears, their dream, everything, fought, tried to make this movie, get 100 takes, and like in 2 seconds, like, yeah, it's okay. Kind of sucks. And it may not have been good, but like there's so much work that goes into that. And for me, it takes a half a second to be like, nah, no good. Like in fact, I had an experience like that recently. I was working on a screenplay for the last year, wrote it with my buddy. Great little movie. We wrote it with Danny DeVito in mind to star. We sent it to my buddy's managers and agents. They liked it. They didn't love it. And that was it. They're like, it's good. It needs some work. And we're like, we spent a year on this. And like, that's it. That's good. And it's like, they're not wrong, but it's like, yeah, yeah. And like, we put a year of time in, and in 5 minutes or after they read the script, they can just be like, yeah, it's not quite there yet. Keep working on it. It's like, all right. Like, I mean, it's good they're honest, but it's like, here we go. You know, it's like so much work.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah. So I think it's personal. And I think people want to be liked. Everyone wants to be liked. I mean, even people who aren't artists want to be respected and liked. And I think people, you know, want to feel important. I think that's why social media, for better or worse, is something that really took off, because everyone has their own little profile, their channel. They can post their pictures of their family and tell their story and get likes and feedback and validation. And, you know, it's unhealthy to a certain extent because we're so obsessed with like, well, who is liking it? And are they, you know, am I being validated? But it stems from the fact that everyone wants to feel important. They want to feel seen. They want to feel, and I get it. We all get it. And like, that's why you got to like kind of, you know, I think also you got to be kind to people. You know, I think you do want to like support people. And even if not everyone's, there are more people who are more talented in certain things than other people. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean you can't still support them and appreciate what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And almost across genres. Yeah. Like you were talking about the movie. It was okay. Well, it was okay because you don't like horror films or you don't like comedy.
Sure.
You know, but for somebody who really appreciates the craft.
Also, you got to digest art a little bit. And I'm guilty of this too. So I'm not saying I'm not. But like, I have a couple of favorite movies I recommend to my students sometimes or friends. And they'll be like, yeah, I watched that movie. It was cool. I was like, I didn't really like it. I was like, well, then you clearly didn't watch it closely enough. Like, watch it again. You know, this is a very, very in-depth movie, maybe one viewing. And I believe that. I think there's books or movies, or even you go to an art gallery and like, I'm not good at art galleries. I don't have the patience at art galleries, but you can walk. I go to art gallery. I look at a painting. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I walk by. I look at it for like 4 seconds. That painting could be the most magnificent piece of work ever. And I'm not giving it more than a couple seconds of my time and judging like, yeah, it's okay. I'm going to go over here. You know, it's like, if you stand there and look at it for 5 minutes, and let down the barriers, or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, or just stare at it and like look at the details and look at really like think about the person who actually put the time into doing this, and like the craftsmanship and the fact that this is actually done by hand, and like the colors, and like, oh my God, actually, you know, and you start noticing things, and there's more layers to stuff and everything, mostly, especially if it's a good piece of work, there's always more layers than what's on the surface. And if you don't give it time, you're never going to catch the layers, and therefore you're never going to catch what the project or the movie or the painting or the book's actually trying to say. You're not going to catch it, and so you're not going to benefit from it, and then it's over.
And you were also talking about, you know, in a movie, for example, with all the takes and all the time, but also all the people, you know, the hundreds of names that roll on the credits.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about collaboration, you know, and the contributions that all these other, your name's going to be on the title. That's great. But what about all the people that have to contribute to it?
Totally. No, there's so many people that work on movies. Well, look, one thing that really bothers me is that Netflix has this like feature that like automatically like jumps to the next, when you're done watching a movie or show, like automatically goes to, like, the next episode and cuts off the credits. It's like, no, whoa. These are the people that like just worked their ass off on what you just enjoyed watching. At least give them a second to let their names pass by and, you know, show off who they are, because, you know, Netflix, it's disrespectful when they do that. Yeah, there's so many people that work on movies. There's so many different jobs. It's such a collaboration. The older I get, the more I work, the more I actually really lean into that. I mean, personally, I'm such a little bit of a control freak, and I do these kind of like, you know, more intimate, smaller indie films because I love editing. I like directing, writing. I like having control. I think I'm trying to get better at letting go of that a little bit, because if I do, I think I can do bigger films and work with more people, and that's exciting. So there's a level for me too, where I just think like embracing collaboration more. You want to collaborate with people you get along with, obviously. You don't want to have people on the set who you're butting heads with, because that's never going to equal good stuff. But So many people go into making movies. You really don't realize it. You know, you really don't realize it until you're in the movie theater watching all the credits. Like, oh my God, I didn't realize there's so many jobs on sets, but there's so many. And it's great. And it's exciting. And it's like such a fun business, you know?
Well, let's talk about your current project. You mentioned The Desert Quarantine.
Yeah.
I watched it before we talk. I do have a warning for the listeners. I would not watch it at 9 o'clock in the morning like I did. It's a late night dark.
I agree.
But anyway, you know, and talking about the collaboration, Joe, I loved the music and the sound effects and the, you know, sort of dramatic heightening, which I guess that's what made me think about all the people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
The sound guy, the music guy was pretty big in this film.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it was cool. You know, again, small movie in terms of on set, just me and my buddy Oliver Cooper, who stars in the film, who people will know from a bunch of cool movies and TV shows, but he's a good buddy of mine. We grew up together. We make a lot of stuff together. So just he and I in the desert. It's the first time I actually shot something myself, meaning like hold the camera, DP'd my own film. I usually work with director of photography on my projects, but this, you know, because of quarantine and because of timing, and, you know, I was sort of excited to actually have the camera in my hands again. So I filmed it myself. That was super fun. It was challenging, but fun. But then, yeah, in post, again, I like to do a lot of the jobs, but I did bring on a sound designer to help me finish the sound design, who's great, Sean Oakley. And he really took the film and really spiced it up. The sound design is fantastic. It's a horror thriller. So it's got that fun, you know, those jump scares and the fun tension. And it's about a guy living in the desert during a global pandemic by himself. And in the middle of the night, he hears something outside his little house in the middle of nowhere. And it unravels from there. But yeah, he's in like self quarantine, you know, he's in quarantine. That's why it's called Desert Quarantine. But yeah, you got to find, you know, the collaborators and the music. You know, what's interesting nowadays is an independent filmmaker, someone who, you know, I didn't want to spend a lot of money on this short. I don't really have a ton to spend on shorts right now. You go on YouTube, there's so much music out there of artists who are like, look, you can use my music for free. Just give me credit and, you know, or share the link or whatever. And so I found a lot of cool tracks that were, you know, no copyright, no, you know, royalty free music, or whatever that you could use. And then there's a couple other websites where you can go on and buy a song for $50 and you get the rights to it. So in that regard, it's really cool right now for independent filmmakers. There's so many ways to get things done now that we have access to because of the internet and other things like that.
But, you know, maybe that's a clue to the other creatives listening to the podcast. And that is, say you're a writer and you need a book cover, you know, look for an artist who wants to do book covers.
Right.
You know, right. You're a painter looking for another outlet. Well, maybe you could be at a museum scene in a movie. You know, let them use your painting, whatever. Look, maybe we need to make some creative connections here.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think, I mean, that's really what it's all about, is connections and who you know and every, you know, and put yourself out there. And the people in my life and who are my friends who have done really, really well, who've really succeeded, have been a lot better at saying yes to opportunities in the past, especially starting out first 5-10 years of the career. Yes, yes, yes. Show up, positive attitude, not getting paid a lot of money, sometimes not getting paid at all, but saying yes because they love it and they know it's a step in the right direction. I'm okay at that. I'm way better now. I think when I was younger, I said no too much because I would read a script as a director and it didn't speak to me the way I wanted it to. But at the same time, I was in my mid-20s. These weren't the projects that necessarily had to speak to me. These are projects that if you make these, you get to the projects that do speak to you. So I think there's a couple times I could have maybe said yes more on a few films, you know, trying again, no regrets. Everything happens for a reason. I like the path I'm on now. But I think just the idea of the mentality of a positive attitude and being open to saying yes and not worrying about trying to get rich right away, but more so let people know that you exist and that you're really good at what you do and what your work is. Once your name starts spreading around like that, in a couple of years, you're going to notice you're going to start getting a lot of calls from a lot of people that want to work with you. And then you're going to be in a position where you can charge, be a little more picky, say yes to the projects that speak to you, and launch your career. I have a few friends who've done that so well, and it's so inspiring. And that's what I teach my film students. You know, say yes, show up with a positive attitude, do a great job, and build a reputation that spreads and gets you more work.
Well, what a terrific conversation. Joe, great catching up with you.
Oh, it's great.
Where do we find you and your work?
I have a website. It's my name, Joe Burke, B-U-R-K-E, joeburke.net. Everything's there. I got my short films on there. You can watch my reels. You can connect to my podcast, Say It, Don't Spray It, through the website. And if you're on Instagram, I'm at Joe Burke Film. Joe Burke Film on Instagram.
Fantastic. So leave us with one thought. A creative person is listening to the podcast and they say, man, this has been inspirational. I got a lot of good ideas. But as soon as I turn this off, I need to take one step. You've been talking about stepping stones. What is an example of one step somebody could take this afternoon to move their project forward?
Yeah, I would say that's a great question. Depending on what your project is, I would sit down with a pad of paper and a pen and whatever thoughts that you have right now from listening to this podcast, whatever sparked, whatever moments of inspiration you just captured, write them down right now. As soon as we're done with this podcast, just sit down 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe an hour, whatever you want to do, and just free write. Don't judge yourself. Pen and paper, it could be scribble. Just write down everything you're feeling right now that flows out of you without any judgment, because when we have these moments of inspiration, which come, sometimes they come a lot, sometimes they don't come a lot. And when you're feeling something right now and you're kind of getting a little inspired and like reconnected with your work, sit down right now and write down exactly what you feel and then see where that leads you. You know, thinking about your project, think about how you feel right now, think about what means something to you, and then just free write for 20, 30 minutes right now and just see what comes out and go from there. Then go for a walk.
Great advice. And beyond that, actionable advice.
Exactly.
That's the kind we love.
I'm trying to be better at that myself. You know, I think that's the key. So no, absolutely. Take the advice. Hopefully it works for everyone.
There you go. Our guest has been Joe Burke.
Thanks, Mark.
He's a fantastic Renaissance creative man, writer, filmmaker, Instagram, comedian, podcast host. Check him out on Say It, Don't Spray It, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. All right. Take care, Joe. And
Thanks, Mark. See you
again very soon.
Unlocking your world of creativity with Mark Stinson. Copyright 2020.
Join me again next time with more on how to tap into your most original thinking, get inspiration from experts' own experiences, and gain specific tools, exercises, and formulas to help organize your ideas. And most of all, learn to make the connections and create the opportunities to get your creative work out into the world. Our podcast is supported by Adobe and the Adobe Creative Cloud. We use Audition, Photoshop, Premiere Rush, Acrobat, InDesign, even Illustrator to produce this podcast. So you can discover the Adobe Creative Cloud and take advantage of the learning, inspiration, and community resources to help you accomplish your creative goals. I'm Mark Stinson. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or check out my website at www.mark-stinson.com. Thanks for listening.